You're listening to True North with Pastor Gary Cottle of Gary Cottle Ministries.
What shall it profit a man if he can cleverly and whimsically win a argument and yet lose his own soul? Because at the end of the day, it matters not what our logic concludes, it matters what the Lord has declared. Because man's logic is not the same thing as the wisdom of God.
Jesus tells us that there is no other way to get to heaven except through Him. Our good works alone cannot atone for our sins. Pastor Gary reminds us today that even if we spend our time telling others about Jesus, but don't have a relationship with Him, we will be left on the outside looking in. We have to ask Jesus to forgive us of our sins and allow Him into our lives so that the Holy Spirit can make us into new creations. Our good works don't give us access to God's presence. Jesus does. Now here's Pastor Gary in the book of Matthew chapter 7 as he begins his message, "On Christ, the solid rock, I stand."
My heart's so heavy. I told my family yesterday, I've been tossing about 5 sermons around in my head this week, seeking the Lord. Because when you have so much to say and so little time in which to say it, it's hard to know what to choose and how to convey it in the most potent and impactful way. So what we do is we pray and we seek the Lord and we fast when necessary and we ask God to bring clarity to what He wants us to say in this small window of opportunity that may impact someone's life for eternity. And that's how serious I take this assignment. I literally take every speaking engagement as an opportunity to impact someone for not only the rest of this life, but more importantly, the life that is to come. Souls hang in the balance. Decisions are made, and people live in the valley of decision every day of their lives. And I've been praying if God would just give power to my words that would effect change to our embetterment, but more importantly, His glory, that He would do that. Would you pray with me that the Lord will put strength in our words, that only Christ will be exalted and souls will be stirred towards Him, not away from Him. Amen. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask You that You would touch us in a very special way. I can't do this without You, nor do I want to. Put power on our words. Breathe upon us, oh God. Help us as only You can. We look to You because You're the giver of life. We look to You because You're our Creator. Lord, if we thought someone else could help us more, we'd go to them, but we have concluded no one else can help us like You. So we come to You and we exclude everyone else if that's what it takes. But we say to You, Spirit of the living God, speak to us in a fresh and relevant and impactful way that these words will not be words of men, but words of God. That they'll not be words without power, but they will demonstrate Your power to effect change that enables us to experience the life of Christ here in this world, as well in the world which is to come. And we'll be careful to thank You in Jesus' name. God's children say amen. Amen. Would you open your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter number 7, verse number 24. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, this is Jesus Christ speaking. Y'all ever heard of Him? And doeth them. I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. I'd just like to serve notice to the devil, in case he hadn't noticed, that because of the grace of God, I'm still here. Can I get an amen? Because my house is founded on a rock. It's not me, it's him. Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Two men, one sermon, two responses, two results. Today I want to preach on this thought on Christ, the solid rock I stand. It is important to note that both individuals heard these sayings of Jesus. Heard the same sermon, came to two different conclusions. One concluded that I do best to not only hear what he said, but obey what he said. The other decided that, well, I heard what he said, but I'm not going to obey that. Then the Bible teaches us that the consequences of obedience and disobedience can be likened unto those who build their house upon a foundation that will stand the test of time and eternity versus those who build their house upon sinking and shifting sand, which will greatly fall. They won't just fall, they'll fall in style. They'll fall utterly because there's no foundation. I'm glad to present to you a God who became flesh, who dwelt among us, so that he could give to us and illustrate for us in his own life a truth that transcends and prevails over every harsh reality that this life has to offer. That he gives us substance, not just to hold in our hands. No, God forbid. He gives us substance that holds in our heart, that weighs against eternity and comes up on the winning side. That there's more to life. The Bible says that a man's life consisteth not in the things which he possesseth. There's more to life than the tangible. There's more to life than the pleasurable. There's more to life than the temporary, the fame, the fortune, all the stuff of this life in the carnality and realities of what you can physically see with your eyes and physically touch with your hands and even emotionally feel. There's something deeper, there's something stronger, there's something better, there's something more to life. Anybody that has ever looked for hope in this life alone has come up empty, try as they may. They may spend their entire life, Sister Amy, looking for that which satisfies them, only to come up on the other side saying, this was meaningless. This was pointless. I did all this. I achieved all this. I tasted everything I wanted to taste. I partook of everything I wanted to partake of. I had everything that I thought would bring me satisfaction, and my soul is yet empty. You remember the rich young ruler who had plenty, but he had so much he lost. He ran out of room in his storage facility, so he went out and built bigger barns. And this is what he said, I'll do. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll just build bigger, and I'll just hold more and build bigger barns, and we'll have bigger parties, and that's all I know to do. And he said, thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. What are you going to do when everything you have can be held in your hand, but there's nothing in your soul? Everything that you have is what you have pursued after, that which you had thought that you needed and wanted, that which you thought would be your mark in life. But yet at the end of the day, God comes to require not what you hold in your hand, but what you hold in your soul. And it is empty because you would not listen to and obey what the Word of God said. For what shall it profit if a man shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? This is something I would like to ask this generation in light of recent events. What shall it profit a man if he can cleverly and whimsically win a argument and yet lose his own soul? Because at the end of the day, it matters not what our logic concludes, it matters what the Lord has declared. Because man's logic is not the same thing as the wisdom of God. And we need to learn how not only to listen to what Jesus said, and many of us are good at listening, some of us not so much, but all of us at some times are very poor at obeying. But it is those who not only listen to, but take to heart with intent to obey, with follow through to obey, that are standing upon a solid rock. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. I don't stand there because I heard all the sermons. I stand there because I seek to obey what He says. How many churches today will be filled with Christians who have heard thousands of sermons and yet their life does not produce the evidence of having obeyed very many, if any, of those sermons? God is not going to ask you whether or not you attended all of the services. He's going to ask you, what did you do in regards to obeying my word? Jesus said, why call ye me Lord when ye do not the things which I command? Some may stand before the Lord on judgment day and they may declare, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not done many wonderful works in thy name, cast out devils, all this stuff? And Jesus is going to look at them and say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never even knew you. Wait a minute, what happened? Here's what happened. They heard, but they did not obey. They may have even thought that they obeyed, but they allowed the tempter to come in and give them some twisted version of God's word, which then is not God's word at all. When the tempter comes in and says, yea, hath God said, now let me lay the groundwork. I'm going to give you the meat in just a minute, but I've got to lay the groundwork. In this generation in which we live, they are right now heaping to themselves teachers with itching ears. What that means is they're looking for a certain spot they want scratched and satisfied. Y'all ever have itches and you can't reach it, you turn to your spouse and say, will you scratch that spot right there? I do that. Amy does that to me all the time. Y'all remember that Jungle Book cartoon where the bear gets up against the tree and he's singing and he's dancing, you know. This is how we do, you know. We're not looking for truth. We're looking for affirmation of what we want to be true. And so we'll find somebody that agrees with us and scratches that itch. And we think that if we find enough of them to agree with us, that it must then be true. But how many of you know God is not in a popularity contest? Let me remind you of Noah, who preached righteousness for 120 years, and the only people that he won that would listen and obey was his family. Out of the whole human population at that time, the majority thought he was a fool until the rains came and the floods came, beat upon that house, and guess which house stood and which house crumbled. It's not always the majority. What we need to do is we need to find out. And by the way, let me ask for those critical thinkers today that might be listening to the sound of my voice, either here or by way of internet. If you're going to find truth, wouldn't you want to go to the one who created everything? It makes sense to me. If you have a problem with any of your appliances, you go to the manufacturer right? If you ultimately have to, sometimes you can go to the retailer and they'll just swap it out. But if the retailer doesn't help you, then you go to the manufacturer because they know more than anybody what that thing was designed to do and how to fix it. Why would we go to anybody else besides the original manufacturer for answers to our soul problems? And yet we have people today that will gladly take the place of God in your life and tell you it is not what the Bible says. This is the way. Walk herein. And they will lead you astray from the Word of God. Or worse, they'll give you a twisted version of it to make you think that it's okay when it's not. What we need to do is find out what truth actually is. And Jesus said of himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And I'm just saying, we do well to listen and obey what Jesus said. And Jesus always affirmed the full weight and authority of all Scripture. He preached from Old Testament texts to affirm that they were, in fact, the words of God. He never discredited them. He never cast doubt on them. We have a generation today that wants to pick and choose and cherry pick and twist and do religious acrobats with the text to try to maintain a form of godliness while denying the power that it was supposed to deliver to transform a life. And they like the part where Jesus told the lady who was caught in the very act of adultery, neither do I condemn thee, but they forget the second part where it says, now go and sin no more. We want the forgiveness, but we don't want the accountability. We want the grace, but we don't want the transformation. We want to live in sin while getting out of jail free card from God without any consequence. But God will hold us accountable to whether or not we not just listen to, but obey the Word of God. Jesus ends this Sermon on the Mount with a powerful image. Every person is a builder. We all are constructing a life. Some build on the rock, capital R, Jesus Christ, amen. Others on sand, and the storm will come and it will reveal what foundation that we've chosen. So let's walk through this passage with three simple but weighty truths. We're going to look at the rock of obedience. We're going to look at the ruin of opposition. And then we're going to look at the rewards of obedience. Are you ready? Say, I'm ready. Point number one, let's look at the rock of obedience. Verse 24 again says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. If Jesus thought there could be any other way but coming to us to reveal God to us in flesh form, if he thought there was any other way, he would have allowed that or done that. But there was no other way. He knew that left to our own devices, we would self-implode and self-destruct. That man cannot figure it out outside of the revealed will, ways, and word of God. So he came in epic fashion to, and the Bible said, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of what? Grace and truth. And the reason the Lord comes and captivates our undivided attention is because that's what it takes to awaken us out of spiritual slumber. Otherwise, we would assume that we're just fine without him. So he has to interrupt our thought process. He has to interrupt the path that we're on. He has to set up our roadblocks on our way to hell to tell us, stop before destruction. Pay attention. I'm trying to help you. I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm trying to heal you. I'm not trying to hate you. But the Bible says the wicked go right on and are punished. If you want to go on, he'll let you. But he's not going to let you go down for a fight, and neither will I. The rock of obedience, the wise builder, hears and obeys Christ's words, and wisdom is not just knowledge, it's obedience. Think, for example, of King Solomon. Solomon had wisdom, he had wealth, and he had power, Brother Lester, and yet he even turned from God himself. In the book of 1 Kings chapter 11 and verse 4, the Bible says, "For it came to pass that when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father." So at the end of the life of King Solomon, the wisest man and the richest in human history, might I add. You remember the book of Ecclesiastes, I believe written from the perspective of an old and miserable and pessimistic individual. And the reason his perspective was so skewed and he called everything he experienced vanity was because after God gave him so much, he allowed his wives to turn his heart to other gods, and now everything that had meaning is now empty in his life. And I fear lest some of you, having heard of the principles and oracles of God, some of you, most if not all of your life, might at some point allow someone to turn your heart away from the true and living God. And even though you had it all, you might walk away from it all and still come up empty and saying, "Vanity of vanities, all is just vanity." But what did he conclude? Ecclesiastes 12:13. He finally circled back around and admitted the truth. And that was this: "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." It is not a suggestion. It is not a recommendation. It is a duty. Yes, you can choose the life of disobedience if you want to, but don't call it anything but what it is: direct disobedience to the word and will and ways of God. Alternatively, we could look to Paul. You remember Paul, he built his life on Christ after meeting him on the road to Damascus, and his foundation was obedience to Jesus after kicking against the pricks and disobedience. So there is that wrestling, and the question at the end of the day is, will we allow the Lord to win the wrestling match over the throne of our hearts? And Paul, after much revelation from Jesus, obeyed, and we find his mantra in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 22, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." He became a maniac for Jesus. He said, "Even if it kills me, I'm going to die doing what God called me to do and being obedient to what God told me to do." Because Paul knew that if he gained everything he wanted in this life but was in disobedience to the word of God, that it was all void and empty and purposeless. He said, if I live in Christ, then if I die by living for Christ, that even that's gain. I haven't lost anything. Because people fill their whole life with anything but Jesus and think they have it all, only to find out that it was not worth pursuing. I thought those would be powerful contrast for you. Let's go on to point number two. Let's look at the ruin of opposition. In verse 26 of our opening text, it said, "Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand." And so we see here that the foolish builder hears the word but rejects it. Opposition to Christ is always sinking sand.
You've been listening to True North with Pastor Gary Caudill. If you enjoyed today's message, we invite you to subscribe to True North on your favorite podcast app. Be sure to share these messages with your friends and family too. This could be a great way to start a conversation about Christ and study the Word together. If you have any questions about what you heard today or would like to send a prayer request, please get in touch with Pastor Gary by emailing contact@garycaudill.com. That's contact@garycaudill.com. truenorth.com. True North is a part of the ministry of Gary Caudill. You can find out more by visiting our website, garycaudill.com. Would you like to come to worship with Pastor Gary? Simply visit garycaudill.com for additional details on where he teaches and how you can plan a visit. If you're not in the area, we still encourage you to find a local church body where you can learn from God's Word and spend time with other believers. It can be a place for you to grow in your faith, find support, and serve in ways uniquely designed just for you. With that, our time with you has come to an end. But please, join Pastor Gary for another edition here on True North.